Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you have a moment in your life that you remember that makes you feel like a bit sick, like a bit ill, if you think about it?
I have too many to count.
Oh my
God. So many. But I have a couple that were like actually on TV. Like on camera, which makes it even worse. Like they're immortalized like that, aren't they?
It's Jamie's got a few of those. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of things that actually generally make me puke, and I thought of it the other day. And I remember I was at school, and this guy called he was quite an odd kid, and we were going to Normandy on a school trip, and I was sitting in this minibus next to him, and he blew his nose into his hand.
Oh.
Yeah, so into his hand. I looked at him weirdly. He looked at me. He showed me his hand, which green, and then went.
It's giving me watery mouth.
Sucked it. In. And I remembered it the other day, and it made me honestly feel vile.
Is this the same school trip where you went and bought a condom?
Yes, it is. It's that one.
So did that turn you on a bit?
Oh, there we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. Here's Jordan Banjo.
Hey.
Yay. Hey, Jordan, your career has gone from strength to strength, by the way.
It seems to be doing okay.
It has. And do you know, I think it's two things. Firstly, because you're incredibly talented, but also because you're just such a really lovely guy.
Oh, thanks, dude.
It's true, 100%. Because you've done diversity now.
Yep.
You've hosted the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards 3 years, 4 years? 5 years?
4 years in a row it was, 4 years.
When they call, because that's a big...
And they only ask lovely guys to do that, so...
That's a fact.
They've never asked me.
You've asked them, though. Yeah.
But John, this is where we first met.
We first met.
So, and one of it was a very weird scenario, but like all of us, we can perform in front of crowds, we can do anything, but embarrassing someone else for a prank, I really can't handle.
And that's what you did to me.
And that's what I had to do to you. So what happened? So you were doing Nickelodeon Choice Awards, and we did a sketch together.
Yeah.
And I had to pretend to dress you. Wasn't that right?
So it was basically like me and Perry are hosting the awards. We needed someone to come up with a really cool outfit for us. It was, of course, get Jamie in, fashion guru. So Jamie comes in to help us. Now, in my head, what I have to turn up and do, there's going to be a bunch of clothes on the rail. Jamie's actually going to give me like a really cool outfit. And let me just clear this up now, disclaimer. He's such a good actor, I had no idea it was a joke, right? So I've come in, and Jamie starts pulling out all this random stuff. What I ended up in, okay, was a pair of my own trousers, which I remember to this day because he called them Mr. Bean trousers, but it's fine. He gave me a pair of my own trousers, a tie-dye T-shirt, a feather boa, and a bowler hat, and said, this is what everyone's wearing. In, I think he might have said in Paris or New York. Yeah. And I believed him. I was like, listen, dude, I feel really uncomfortable. I'm not sure if I want to wear this, because they were like,
well, you're meant to go out onto the
whatever Jamie picks for you, make sure you're happy with it because you have to wear it. So I was like, so in the end, I was trying to do it like in a nice way. I was like, bro, like, I'm not sure if this is for me. You know, he just flipped his lid. He was like, why are you trying to embarrass me? I take time out of my day to come here. And then I just crumbled because I was like, I've embarrassed this guy on camera. And I was like, Jamie, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, I'm not having it. I literally wanted to cry. It was embarrassing.
It was horrible because I was freaking out because it was... Jordan's obviously so nice and Perry's so sweet as well. And I was like, God, I have to do this. And it's really embarrassing. And I kept saying to the producers, I really don't want to do it. And they were like, go on, like your mum, go on.
Get in there.
Get in
and
there.
You're like, all right, yeah.
Oh, will I brutal. Be famous after this? Okay, but it was really intense. But what is the Nickelodeon Choice Awards like? Is it scary? Because it's completely live, right?
Yeah, it's live, and it was pretty scary because like we went there as like the UK host, so we like obviously present all like the UK awards and stuff. But while we was there, I was like, okay, we need an interview to fill time for the UK show. Let's just grab someone. Robert Downey Jr. or David Hasselhoff, let's just go. And I was like, the Hoff, literally.
Are they just there?
They're just there.
So kicking around.
They brought the Hoff over and we're just there interviewing him. And this was like one of our first presenting gigs. So it was really daunting. Mm-hmm. But weirdly enough, it kind of seems to be, for me, the more people I meet, like the more well-known they are in a lot, not every case, but it's like the nicer they are. Like they're just really, really nice.
That is so kind of you. That is, I know, I am very kind. And so is Francis, and we are incredibly
well. We are just very kind. Very nice men.
But then you had, because it is completely live, and it's, we spoke about earlier, one of those moments when you're on television and you say something that you suddenly go, why the hell have I said that? What happened with you?
So I'm not sure if it was the Kids' Choice Awards or what it was for, but we was on TV and it was meant to be like a little bit of a joke, like a play on Monday motivation. You know what you see on like the hashtags on Insta? So Perry went on there.
And meanwhile, the Nickelodeon Choice Awards is from like 7 to 10.
Bear in mind, it's a bunch of young kids. It's Nickelodeon.
This
right?
is in America.
But, yeah. No, this one is, this is back. This is now back in the UK. So we're now filming something directly to link to
but
it.
But presumably because, you know, dancing is not like something that you need to speak any language for. You've got fans all around the world.
Luckily, do you know what? We've got the most random place. We went to perform in China. And wow. It was like, we obviously put it on our Instagram and stuff that we was going out there. And when we got there was like a bunch of people with like signs and this and that, like diversity. We've got like quite a few fans in China. Yeah.
That's insane.
Which is really cool.
So you're live on Nickelodeon.
So we're live on Nickelodeon. And we're doing this play on Monday motivation. So Perry gets up and says something really stupid, like as a joke, like, you know, you've got to love Mondays because they're the start of the week. And everyone's like rolling their eyes. And it's like, Jordan, what's your motivational quote? And I mean, it makes you cringe to this day.
So good.
I stood up and I went, life's like a box of chocolates. Doesn't last long if you're fat. just four tubby 8-year-olds in the front looking really sad. And I was like, why did I say that? Like, you know, something makes you
really great one-liner.
Yeah, I was like, why did I say it?
Like, oh my God, it's so good. And then what you do is for the rest of the interview, you then start to freak out in your head.
Yeah, just like, gotta try and put it back. And you see, like here, right now, if I said something that was kind of funny and you said something, I really didn't find it funny, but Francis starts laughing, you two have got each other's back, right?
Sure.
Perry was meant to have my back, so I said that and I was like, even if he just laughed along, I went, oh George, what you'd like. He literally, I said it, I went, it doesn't last long if you're fat. Silence. Nothing. He just looked at me like, what have you done?
It was so I do that to Jamie sometimes.
Yeah. He does it so many times. There are so many things like Francis has said about it. Like,
and
it,
I'm just like, mate, what?
why did you say that?
Hey, the worst thing, which I think we can say, the worst thing is we had an interview with this person up in Scotland and Francis, and I walk into the interview and Francis walks in knocks over a glass. And I went to Francis, the interview's sitting there.
With a newspaper.
And I go, Francis, I've never seen you not do something clumsy. And Francis turns to me and said, well, you've never said anything that isn't racist.
I said, I've never been with you when you haven't done something racist.
And that would just lay the most awkward tone to the entire... Because if you would have said that to me...
And I had to go, no, he's kidding. Francis doesn't back down from the joke.
No. If you would have said that when I walked in, I would have just sat here going, just waiting for the racism. Just waiting for it to be racist. I wanted to be waiting for it the entire thing. I'd be like, come on, hurry up. Get out of there.
But dude, then, you know, what happened with you, with your career, is that you did Nickelodeon, all that kind of stuff, and then... I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
Gave you a call up.
Yeah.
And what were your initial thinking behind that? Because it's a 3-week show. You're on camera every single night. It's intense. It's not where you're in a controlled situation like Britain's Got Talent or doing your diversity stuff. What were your initial thoughts with it?
All that. And my initial response was absolutely not. I can't do it because I'd only ever been either with Perry on like, not a small platform, like the Kids' Choice Awards is a big platform, but it's not like in the UK, it's not like Nickelodeon isn't a huge, huge channel. or I've just been with diversity and been dancing with the boys as part of a group. So I was like, to go out there and put yourself directly in the firing line, which is what I always say to people, you know, there's no excuse for people being for trolls, no excuse for people being horrible, no excuse for any of that. But the fact is they exist and it's going to happen. So don't be upset if you put yourself in the firing line, you know, and that's always been my opinion on it. So when I first agreed to do it, I was like, oh, like I started following just before I went in the jungle. I've never told anyone, this is so funny. I started following like loads of different meme pages and stuff like that, and like liking their stuff. You know, like people who like tweet along to shows and mug people off.
To
kind of be like, oh, if they follow me back and we follow each other, they can't be horrible to me.
So you unfollowed everything negative, like anything negative, and just followed me going like, oh, life is great.
I started following like all those people who like tweet along to shows.
Quite clever.
So I was like, please, I didn't want to be on there. And I'd be like, oh, God, what mug? Didn't I just get mugged off? So I was like, oh, I got it. It really made me. I started to experience that anxiety you're talking about, Jamie.
Welcome to the party.
No, Jamie, I started to get really scared, and it was the first thing I'd ever done. I landed in Australia, and there was like, obviously, all the reporters were there because they're waiting to see who lands and who's going to be in the jungle.
So the press is then back on again, like it was Britain's Got Talent. So that's
pretty
quite
much. So they're back on you straight away. Yeah, and it's just a hard one because then they. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very normally used to, but I was really used to. Tours and performing and that's that. And if you ever was interviewed, it was as a group and talking about what diversity are doing, not about me personally, not about who my girlfriend is, not about, you know, what I'm doing and why and when. It was never like that.
And then, but the tricky thing is that you're then taken into a place that's completely secretive. You're feeling anxious. You don't know who else is doing it, do you? You have no idea. And then you're thrown into an environment where you went to spend 3 weeks with no contact with the outside world. You know, you've probably never been out of contact with your family and friends that long. So what kind of emotion? Was it tricky? Was it hard?
I don't know why you guys are just prying this stuff out of me. I've never said this before.
Yeah,
this
don't worry. Open up, baby.
I got to the hotel room and they come in and they'll be like, can you just open your suitcase for us? Just so we can check you haven't got a laptop or a phone or anything in there. Because obviously before you come into the jungle...
Or weapons.
Yeah, all you're, that stuff. You're in a hotel room for a week before you go in, right? So you're in something called lockdown. So you stay in that room.
No phones, nothing?
Nothing, no phones. Nothing. The TV, the phone in the room can only ring reception. But yeah, so I in the room, I got really emotional. After about 3 days, I just got really upset. Yeah. I was sat in there, I was like, oh, man. Because like you said, I've never been away from my family. I've always spoke to them. So by the time you're going into the jungle, even though I was nervous, I was just relieved to be with people and to have someone to speak to and stuff. But I remember the very first thing we did, you pull up on that speedboat and you walk up to do that. Hey, and you meet everyone. I was the second person there. And all I was thinking was, everyone, please be nice. Everyone, please be nice. And I walked up, and the first person standing there was Carol Vorderman, and she had like this all gold Versace dress on. I was wearing this flipping black shirt from ASOS, which I got for like £6. I was just thinking, everyone's just going to think I'm a proper mug.
Because you then think, you're basically turning up to a party, which you think I've dressed wrongly
and
all that kind of stuff. And you're,
I said it then, I looked like a waiter at Chiquito's. I had a black shirt, black jeans, black shoes. I walked in like, hi guys, can I get anyone? It wasn't good.
Then you start dancing to distract everyone.
Watch this! Quickly!
Yeah. Look, I can teach you how to wave.
Break the ice. But you know what? The part that I thought was going to be one of the worst, no offence to my cat mates, I really thought the people in there, I was going to be like, oh, just get through this 3 weeks, turned out to be by far the best. Like, I made actual friends. And I know a lot of people say it, and there's been a lot of shows I've been on, go, yeah, we'll catch up, but really, like, speak to the guys quite a lot. And yeah, it was
who do you say you're closest to now?
I speak to Joel Dommett. You know, I speak to Carol every now and then. Like, every now and then she'll just give me a text like, how you doing, Jungle Sun, or something like that. Like, she's really, really nice.
That's so sweet. Because you guys, I think what happened with your year, which was, so it was the year of like how Love Island also kind of started to become big. And I think the world had been through a lot of shit, and the UK going through a lot of shit, and all these reality shows were quite negative and dark. And actually, I'm a Celebrity came around, and it was
a nice year.
It was really lovely.
Really nice
and
year.
You had Scarlett, and you had Joe, and you had yourself, and you had Larry Lamb, and everyone, and everyone got on amazingly well.
It was a really nice year, I can't lie. Like, it was really nice to be a part of
it. And it was a happy show. And so people were tuning in every single night because it was this happy, lovely, warm show that people wanted to be a part of.
And that's what you got to hold your hands up for Scarlett, because it didn't matter. Like, everyone gets tired and hungry and this in the camp. And, you know, like, you're around the same people. 2.5 weeks in, you're a bit irritable. didn't matter what time of day, what was going on, Scarlett was just happy. She's like just really nice. In that scenario, it was really nice to be around. Yeah. They sort of like picked you up a little bit as well.
I thought you said she's just tappy. Like
Everything's dance related.
Yeah,
me,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What moment in the jungle was really hard for you? Like in a marathon, you get to a point where your legs go and things like that. Yeah. Was it a weekend? Was it 4 days in? What was it?
I would say, so the first couple of days, you're kind of like, oh, trying to find your feet. I would say, when the vote-off started, it got hard because by the time the vote-off started, this sounds really bad, my mindset was, please let it be me. And maybe some people won't admit it, won't name and shame, but quite a few of us were like, please let it be me. Please let it be me today.
But why? Because you were so desperate to get home by that point.
I feel like when the vote-off starts, you know that your family are just across the bridge and you know, like, you're missing everyone, you're not eating loads, you're tired, and not in a horrible way, but if you're not going out, you kind of want to put yourself in a situation to do trials and be scared, because if you don't do that, you're just sat in that camp the entire day, nothing to do. Obviously, there's not even any pen and paper, there's just nothing to do. You end up just going, walking down to fetch water and firewood for fun because you're just that bored.
How big of an area do you get to sort of roam around in?
So I would say the camp is about double this room.
Oh, that's, you know, that's
the camp's
that's
about
small.
Double this room. Then there's a little pathway up to like where the dunny is, and then there's another pathway where you have to walk all the way down to go and get like the water and the wood. But it's not very. It's not like.
But also, there's no time, right? So you just don't know what you want time.
But is there
with
like a clearing where you can do like exercise? Really?
In the middle of the camp, pretty much. Around the campfire, yeah. We used to. There's like a little allotment down the side, so we used to use the stairs to do pull-ups on and stuff like that. Mm. But apart from that, like you said, there's no time. You have no. The only time we knew was when they come in to change the batteries in your mic pack. They come in and we knew that was around 5 a.m. So you're awake from about 5:15.
Really? Every day?
Every day. And then you don't go to sleep because you have the whole day. Then you do interviews at the end of the day with everyone. So you're not getting to bed till about midnight, I don't think.
It's tough.
They are long
it's
old days.
Not easy. And people just think you're sitting around just doing nothing. It's tough, isn't
it? Yeah, and that's my point. You know, like in a weird way, when you do get bored, you'd be like, I haven't done much today. You kind of feel like lethargic. You feel more tired. So you'd either sat around but having to stay awake the whole time or you were out doing trials, which are, even though they come across funny on TV, they actually are really scary. Like when you're locked in like a tiny little box and you've got to do certain things. Like,
mate, they're horrible. Yeah, I mean,
you squeamish with bugs and stuff?
Bugs? I don't like bugs. I hate spiders. They make
spiders, man, are the worst.
I've got a genuine phobia of snakes. Like, I can't. If someone gets like a picture up, I'm like, I don't want to look at it. Like, they really freak me out.
Like those cats with the cucumbers.
Yeah.
What is the cat with the cucumbers?
Have you not seen it?
No, what is that?
So, like, You put a cucumber next to a cat when it's not looking, and it's because it's like something like in its space. Yeah, they didn't know.
But it's also like instinctive when they see it. It's amazing. It's like almost inbuilt into the cat's
for
like
a cucumber.
DNA. Yeah. They see a cucumber, they think it's a snake.
So they jump about 6 feet in the air. Yeah. And they just ping off.
Really?
I'll tell you another story which I haven't told anyone. Right, one of the
exclusive.
Trials, we turn up. And there was 3 boxes. We was all involved. And basically, you had to put your head in a box. It was called Fright at the Museum. And you had to sit there for half an hour. We knew one of the boxes was spiders, one was rats, one was snakes. Right? And I was like, just please don't be the snake one. I knew one of the producers. So I looked at him when we was on camera, and I was nodding at one of the boxes. And he looked left to right and went and put his thumb up at me to say, when I was nodding at that box, he's like, get in that box. So I went, cool. So like, what box does everyone want to go to? Well, I'm going to this one thinking, as long as it's not snakes, I don't care.
Yeah.
Got in it. And as I'm staring through the box, I see him behind the camera.
Just laughing.
Literally laughing and nudging people. And I was like, no, no way. And we sat there and I was in the box with Danny Baker and Martin Roberts. And I was like, got my eyes closed. And all I heard is, Jordan, just don't panic. And as soon as they said that, I went, I know.
God.
And like an idiot, I was like, oh, I want to be the furthest to the side, because if I'm in the middle, the snakes won't see
go around you.
I went into the corner, and obviously all the snakes want to be close together. I had 30 pythons around my head for half an hour.
Were you freaking out?
Literally, if you watch the episode back, it looks like I don't move. I got out of the box, I just burst into tears. Like, I was that relieved to be outside.
Did it cure your phobia of them? Or?
It's made it worse. Really? It's made it a lot worse.
You've gone out and burst into. Did Larry Lamb go, pussy?
in that scenario, everyone just come up and start giving me cuddles. And I was like, oh, thanks, guys. Thank you. You're so nice.
Play the sympathy card. Literally. I liked it. So then you came out of there and, it was a raging success, that show. And just off the back of, you've just gone from strength to strength. You know, you're presenting all these different things.
Yeah.
You're doing The Greatest Dancer backstage. Yeah. You're doing stuff with Dancing on Ice. Are you doing stuff with
that? So I started with Dancing on Ice. So the first show I did when I came out was a show for Sky One called Revolution. It was like an extreme sports show. And then I started on Dancing on Ice. And it was kind of a case of I really enjoyed it. It was only meant to be a role on Instagram. That's all it was meant to be. And then somehow, I think they had some time to fill in the first ep. They were like, look, we haven't got a performance here. Let's interview the skaters backstage. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll do that. Sounds just for the first ep. And they were like, oh, it went really well. We're going to keep it for the second ep. And I went, okay. Then, all 12 eps later, I'd done it. So I sort of became like the backstage presenter for that as opposed to just online. And then Greatest Dancer came along. I filmed the pilot for it and they really wanted to take it. And, basically I had a choice. I couldn't do both at the same time. So it was either Dancing on Ice or Greatest Dancer. So I went with the Greatest Dancer.
God, I mean, I need a talent. That's all I need. I need to get some sort of talent and they get a show and we can do it. We should do it like jiu-jitsu, Francis. I should actually learn jiu-jitsu with you and jiu-jitsu. Then we can go into this talent. Yeah. Have you done jiu-jitsu before?
I used to do jiu-jitsu when I was a kid.
Did you?
Horrifying experience.
Your mum really pushing you into everything.
So I was going to ask you about this. So what did you find horrifying?
So when I was a kid, I was really fat. So I used to hate wearing the gis because I thought when you're grappling, they're going to come undone. Everyone's going
to
see my...
Were you one of those kids who used to go in the swimming pool with a t-shirt on?
Yes, I was. Yes. And I get bantered about it by the boys all the time. Like, we always knew when Jordan knew, because when I was a little kid and you're fat, no, you don't really know, do you? You don't care about that sort of stuff. And the boys like, we knew when you knew you were fat because we came down, we was all in a hotel and I jumped in the pool with a t-shirt on and they went,
Oh, he's got awareness.
Which was really awkward. And then as I got older, obviously I lost weight, but when I was doing jiu-jitsu, there was this guy there and I think his name was Matt, and no one of them guys, he's got a black belt, but only because he's been doing it for about 50 years, not because he's like, really good at it. And I feel so bad. He didn't have very good oral hygiene, I'm gonna say, okay, let's put it politely. And we partnered up to spar. And he's got me in this grapple, and I was looking up at him, and I went to go, yeah, all right, mate. And as I've gone to tap, he dribbled, and it went in my mouth.
Oh.
And then I went, wait, to make it worse, I went, and he went, shh, and put his hand on my mouth. So it was like I was being abducted and spat on at the same time. It was brutal. Like, and I literally never went back. I literally never went back after that. My brother still went for a couple of weeks, but after I was like, I don't want to go.
I've never had someone spit in my mouth, but I have had someone drip sweat into my mouth, which was...
I love that you were screaming.
I went, shh, shh, shh. It's horrible. Francis,
on that note, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
So the answer, well, neither of you got it right.
Okay, so Jordan was
2.8.
2.8. Right? Tons, and mine's 3.2.
In fact, you were both way over. It was actually 1.2 tons.
Is it?
They lift.
Oh, so they do about 30 lifts.
Yeah, they do about 30 lifts.
If we'd gone with your fucking first thing, saying 25 lifts, we would have been there.
I was thinking, because where there's quite a few ballerinas on the stage, actually, you know, the guys, they can't be, they're not going to... There's a few of them on there. They're all doing lifts. So.
But to do 70, what did you say? 85 lifts. 82. I mean, that's more than that's 82. That's more than one lift per minute.
Damn
right?
It! You should have trumped me there.
I should have.
You said you did about 20 lifts. We should have got added on a tiny bit more and done it that
just
way.
Just quickly. Who technically I was the closest.
Yeah,
right?
You were the closest. Okay, so you won.
I was massively over, but I was still the closest.
Oh, Francis, we need to have your diary, my friend.
Oh.
Which is very exciting. You want to talk about...
No double negatives this time.
Yeah.
No. Well,
the double negative was there.
I never don't do no double negatives.
Hey!
Francis, let's have your diary.
Monday. I'm in deep focus mode, preparing to compete in my first Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament this weekend at the Bristol Open Championships. And I have a slightly giddy excitement coursing through my veins. In Jiu-Jitsu, live sparring comprises an essential component of training. But competing is where you take all of that you've learnt from sparring and put it together in your game plan and battle test it in a series of fights at maximum intensity.
You're just explaining the Jiu-Jitsu tournament?
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
Against opponents of unknown ability. Not everyone knows.
Yeah, that's true.
Knows that.
That is true.
As with any fight scenario, one tends to get a dump of adrenaline into your system, which demands the mastery of an entirely different skill in the form of managing that adrenaline so that you remain composed and technically sound. Through the process of competing regularly, you grow accustomed to that adrenaline, and managing it becomes part of your arsenal.
Is this the jiu-jitsu rule book? Is this what you just copy and pasted?
No, I'm just talking about the process of competing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my tournament was on Sunday. It was my first jiu-jitsu tournament, and I think there were 27 competitors,
mm-hmm.
20 or 32 or something like that, maybe. I don't
know. Is that the end of your diary?
That's the end of my diary.
So I love.
Well, the rest of the week, in a nutshell, was just training.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just trained.
And then you came third.
I got bronze medal. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Hey,
that's dope.
I did a boxing fight once, and I didn't realize how tiring it was going to be. And I got to the after the first round, I was so tired. And my friend Josh Patton looked at me and went, "Keep fighting." And I went, "I'm so tired." And then in the second round, I pretended I broke my hand. Yeah, because I was too tired.
Oh my god.
Oh, I've got to go because I've broken the hand.
Sorry,
with my punch that I'd never landed.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing is, like, I suppose in jiu-jitsu, like, if you're fighting someone, like, you can't stop and say, like, oh, yeah.
I mean,
you could stop and say, oh, I'm injured, but, like, you know, like, that would be quite shaming. But, like, so then you basically have to keep, and then if you're that exhausted, then you end up just getting submitted, which, you know, can be injuring.
It can be injuring.
Yeah. And then what was I going to say? Yeah, so, you know, I'm competing again at the end of the month. And hopefully, you know, just that process of competing regularly,
exactly.
you master the adrenaline management, and then you can exercise your technique more.
Hey, you're as talented as this guy sitting next to me.
Well, no, I think
agreed.
That's definitely not true.
Hey, definitely not true. Jordan,
maybe at jiu-jitsu, because you only did it for a
definitely
bit.
Definitely more talented.
I'm gonna go and dribble in your mouth. I can't wait. That's all. Yeah. I know what I
that's
need
what
to do.
That's my special move.
Yeah. Hey, Jordan, thank you for coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Hey, have you enjoyed yourself?
Very much so.
You are not only a charming gentleman, you're talented, and you're going to go from strength to strength. I know. So
when you reach
the stars, buddy, don't forget. Forget Francis, but don't forget don't forget me.
You're coming with me. We're going to be anxious together, Jamie.
Oh,
all
dude,
the way
I
up
can't
there,
wait. Hey, listen, also, what we like to do on the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Life is like a box of chocolates. No, Jackie.
I thought you were going to go with that.
I really wanted you to go with that one. I'm not sure if I can do it again. Guys, inspirational-wise, I guess, just keep doing you. It's the best thing I can say.
That's it. Keep doing
you.
Just you do you.
Keep doing you.
Hey, Jordan Banjo, everybody. Thank you so much. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.